do this before, but I'm going to entitle the next series, The Uninvited Guests. There's stuff showing up at your table that we're not invited. Lord, you better come on, pack a lunch, and let's go. Amen. All right, so let's go to verse 6 of Psalms. Title of this message is, He's a Good, Good Father. How many know He's a good, good Father? Psalms 23 and verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you imagine? Forever. You'll have some time on your hands. Forever and ever and ever. Let's start with that first word. Surely. Goodness and mercy. It's kind of, in the Hebrew, it's kind of strange. It's because the word, the Hebrew word there for surely is also a root word of the word good or goodness or mercy. So it's like he's saying good, good. Really good, good. Woo! Glory to God. He could say good God Almighty. Amen. He's saying good. He said, I'm fully persuaded. I'm absolutely, certainly, assuredly, definitely, undoubtedly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all, say all, the days. That's how good he is, and that's how sure David is that God is going to follow him. But that word follow is something we need to look at. God is so good. Can you just say with me, God is so good? But you need to understand, David, you know, sometimes people say, yeah, you say that. But I'm having a tough time, and I'm not really feeling God, and I'm not knowing where he's at. But I want to assure you that everybody goes through the things you go through. Sometimes we just get convinced, I'm all alone, nobody understands. No, you know what? We get it. And sometimes people look around and say, well, so-and-so is always happy. They don't have any problems. They're not happy because they don't have problems. They're happy because they've been through all their problems, and God has never left them and never forsook them. Amen. I like James 5:17. James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was normal. Look at your neighbor and say, you could be Elijah. Because you're so normal. No, don't go that far. But he said he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. All he did was pray. I said all he did was pray. And God answered his prayer. It's not that Elijah was that abnormal. He just prayed and believed God. I can read so many Psalms right now, because David, we think about David the psalmist, we think about all the beautiful Psalms he wrote, but David liked to complain a lot. Psalms 13. How long, oh Lord? David had a little black in him here. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Did you ever get to that place where are you? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, question myself, having sorrow in my heart daily? How about this one? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? My enemy looks more blessed than I do. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I just feel like dying. Come on, when you're that low, you're low. You can't get much lower. But that's not the end of the psalm. Because two verses later, come on now, two verses later, the eternal Holy Ghost but. Woo! Come on now. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt what? After all that complaining? See, on the one hand, you're going through it. But on the other hand, you know God's going through it with you. He has an answer. He has a way out, and it's going to be okay. Oh, somebody help me now. Come on. Preach with me, or this old preacher's going to start dancing. Not a pretty sight. At least that's what my wife says. All right. Remember Sister Philippine? She's in Virginia with her sisters, having a good weekend. Two of them have birthdays this week. And I said, go. You don't get to see them that often. Amen? All right. But look, watch this now. But his goodness and mercy will follow me. Follow me. Now, that word follow doesn't just mean tag along behind. Doesn't mean just it goes where I go. That Hebrew word follow can be and is translated in a dozen different ways in Scripture. So it's a commonly used word. And some places it's run after, chase, hunt, pursue. In some places, even persecute. In other words, God's not going to let you go. He'll come after you so hard you'll feel persecuted. He doesn't just follow. He hunts you. Well, one person years ago, a famous preacher, he called the Holy Ghost the hound of heaven. He said he will hound you, he will dog you, he will chase after you, he won't let you go, amen. You can't push him away when God has your number. Somebody shout and praise the Lord. Ah, his goodness and mercy is chasing you, pursuing you, hunting you down. You can't get away from it, amen. You may have your moments like David, but two verses later, you're going to be okay. Come on and praise the Lord, amen. Woo! But it shall follow me all the days of my life, every day, all day, and I will. There's a place to live. There's a place to live, and it's not your home address. Now, sometimes when people read this, they say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord someday. This is not a someday scripture. Listen, I want you to get this, because all through scripture, it talks about us dwelling in the house of the Lord, but not just someday. It's not just pie in the sky. We dwell in the house of the Lord now. I want you to get that. You have a place to dwell. That means you have a hiding place. That means you have a feeding place. Woo! That means you have a shelter. That means you have a fortress. That means you have a safe place. That means you have family. Because we're going to dwell. Say, I dwell in the house of the Lord. Psalms 90. Verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Woo, come on, claim that for the grandkids. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Psalms 91 and 1. Whew, glory to God. He who in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Is that heaven? No, that's now. There's a place to dwell. It's the secret place of the Most High. Let me tell you how secret it is. Every time you get in that secret place, the devil's like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? He starts knocking on doors trying to find you. Hallelujah. The secret place. And that secret place, watch this, is the shadow of the Almighty. God help us in this place. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:24. What a powerful scripture. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and him. And by this we know that he abides in his. In us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So he lives in us and we live in him. Can I get an amen? 1 John 4:13. 4:13. By this we know that we abide in and he in because he has given us of his Spirit. He put his Spirit in us. He abides in us, but remember, you abide in him. It works both ways. Isn't God good? Amen. I like, you know, my favorite chapter, most powerful, most, wow, word-filled, I think, chapter in the whole Bible is Romans 8. If you just read that every day, you'd be blessed. Romans 8:16 in the Passion Translation. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. We're family. We have a home to live in. A few verses down in verse 38, it says, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing, say nothing, in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future that can weaken his love. There is no power above us. Come on. There's no power above us. Or what? Beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. I believe if you can get this in your spirit, that he loves you, if you really got that in your spirit, you would never be the same again. It would utterly change your life. Let's read those same scriptures in the Message. I'm almost done, so quit fretting. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. It's from the Message. We know who we is, who he is, and we know who we are. Father, children. Verse 38, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. There's the answer. There's the key right there. Because of the way Jesus has embraced us, nothing can get between us. It's not about you embracing necessarily because we kind of come and go. We have our doubts and fears. But he said, he embraces us. He embraces you whether you feel it or not. So as he embraces us, what can come between us? How many believe he holds us tight? Is anybody getting this? Anybody getting this? My God, hallelujah. Listen. This is interesting. For all six verses, we're going to conclude this, is actually a description of God. You can put a name. How many know God's too big to have one name? A really neat sermon series would be to look at the Old Testament names of God. And it's one of the proofs that only one person wrote the book, wrote the whole Old Testament, as it were. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Because the names of God, as you go from Genesis through Malachi, the various names of God, there's a progression to it, and each name describes a different part of God and who he is. And one builds on the other. So we know God's called Yahweh, or some people would say Jehovah, right? But we start in verse 1 in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my... Okay, that's... I had him put this on here so you can write it down if you want to and remember it. But first of all, in verse 1, he's Jehovah Rohe. He's the shepherd. In verse 2, he's Yahweh Shalom. He's our peace. Hey, come on now. In verse 3 of the 23rd Psalm, he's Yahweh Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. In verse 4, he's Jehovah Shammah, which means he's present. Literally, it means he's our banner. He's our banner. You say, oh, I don't care about banners. Well, in the olden days, people cared about banners. In fact, if you're military, you know about banners. And every unit has their banner, and now it's just like, well, that's what they do in parades. But in the olden days, before they had headsets, before they had radios, come on, the general would be up on a hill somewhere, and he could identify the units by their banners. And he knew the order of attack and the order of battle. And he can tell where this company is and where that company is as they go forward or have to retreat or they move around. And it's like pieces on a chessboard. And he kept track of everything by the banner. Well, we got a banner. Jesus is our banner. It identifies us. It watches us. It goes with us. Listen, people would give their lives for that banner. If the banner can, I wouldn't want to be a banner carrier. How many know they always aimed for the banner carrier? And the banner carrier wouldn't even have a weapon. He just had the banner. And if he fell, someone else would. It was important to keep the banner up. And God says, I'm your banner. I'm your presence. Rally around the banner. Ah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 5. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I happen to remember where that word was introduced, where that name was introduced. It was when Abraham was told to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. And just as he was about to bring the knife down. An angel stopped him. And his son looked up and said, well, then where's the sacrifice? Unknown to them, while they were going up one side of the mountain, a lamb was coming up. You may be going through a hard time, but I'm here to testify. On the other side of your mountain, there's a lamb coming up. Amen. He is Jehovah Jireh. He provides the lamb. And the lamb was Jesus. Give him all praise. Amen. Woo! But verse 6, he's Jehovah Olam. He's the eternal one. Jehovah forever and ever and ever. My God. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Maybe because I'm getting old. But I've been thinking about eternity. And isn't it hard to wrap your head around it? To be in heaven forever. No threat of death. No thought of death. Come on. That song they sang, that's my favorite song. And if I die, I'm living to be 100. Unless Jesus comes, I'm not staying behind to live longer. Jesus comes, I'll just go with him. Thank you. But then that starts eternity. Eternity forever and ever. Wow. And you won't get bored. I know young people are going like, my God. No, you won't get bored. I don't know how to describe it, but that's one of his names, God the Eternal One, the Forever One. My God, hallelujah. Psalms 95 and 7 says this, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Don't you feel safe in the pasture? And the sheep of his hand today, if you'll just hear his voice. Listen. Psalms 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. Jesus would come along later and say, I am the good shepherd. I'm not the hireling. This is all I got, and I'm committed to it. I'm not leaving. I'm not forsaken. I'll be there whenever you need me. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. My God, is able. Yes.